You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the precious metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 80 years of experience advising on and managing the precious metals portfolios. Each week, we're going to try to give you a breakdown as to what transpired over the week from a technical analysis through the charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move those markets. So, Miles, volatility continues. Excited for the 1% rally in gold in your weekly recap on all four metals.
Well, it's the 1% thing kind of ends after gold. We'll open and close with 1%. How about that?
Yeah, I think the guy that's in the top 1% should be given a summary as to a 1% performance on the week.
Well, that ain't me. So, but we will open and close with 1% performances opposite directions. So we'll start with gold, which is up 1%, currently sitting at $4,725. It is continuing its climb up, and we'll look at the gold chart here in a little bit because it's in between some levels, and there's a few different things it could do here as it kind of figures out which direction it's going to take momentum. But for the time being, still sitting pretty flat from our midweek recording last week. The 1% is going to end there for a minute because silver, which did a little bit better, it's up 3%, but a very similar pattern as gold, up 3% over the last week, currently sitting at $74.50, which is still weird to say. But it is. So,
yeah, still a little sticker shock. Yeah.
Yeah. Still a little sticker shock. I know we won't talk about February. That didn't count, but I'm still pretty excited about the $70+ silver price. Platinum, the number jumps up a little bit more here. Platinum up 7% on the past week, back up over 2000, currently sitting at $2,025. And sister metal palladium, that number keeps going up 9%. On the week. So palladium had a nice big jump, although still lagging well behind platinum. It's at 1,550 right now. So numbers going to start going down here as we take a look at the paper markets. The S&P is actually up, had a really nice rally here this week, up 4%, which is quite a lot for the S&P in a single week, sitting at 6,776 points. And finally, the dollar is, we'll close out with 1%. Dollar is 1% down, most of which happened like in a day, currently sitting at 99. So the dollar is back under 100. Well, guys, there's some chart stuff. There's some momentum discussion. There's some breakout moves, or at least conversation about what some breakouts could end up looking like. And there's a bit of news in the futures and options markets. So where do you guys want to start today?
I want to start with just the last 24 to 48 hours, like really zoom in on the chart of gold, silver, and the dollar, since you bookended with gold and the dollar. But just taking a look at what's transpired here in the immediate last couple of days with the ceasefire that's super fragile, as you can tell, and we'll have to see if that actually holds. But I mean, you saw this immediate spike in gold. So yeah, we're only up 1% on the week, and down 1% on the dollar for the week. But I mean, these charts overlaid against each other, it's a mirror image. And it's actually a little bit better than what you would think, because we did get as high as 4,840 on the gold price. And that was about a $260 difference from where the low was. You actually gained about 5.6% in the last 24 hours in the gold price. And likewise, you saw a big drop in dollar. So Miles, if you don't mind throwing those images up just for everybody to see, and then let's talk a little bit about silver.
You know, you're exactly right. If you look at just what happened on Tuesday, gold jumped up 5.5%. And like I mentioned, most of what we've seen down in the dollar happened on a single day. In fact, you can see in the chart the dollar has bounced back up a little bit, but it went down 1.5%. In a single day. Yeah, I guess a teetering potential ceasefire was enough to put a lot of negative faith in the dollar. I don't know how those two things correlate personally. Maybe it's that news and the markets have less to do with each other than people think it is. Yeah, decline, big decline in the dollar. Not surprising to see a bump up in gold.
Yeah, and a big spike you know, that coincided on the silver price as mm-hmm. well. It went up 10% from about 70 to 77.
Yeah, under 70, 69 and change. Yeah, so it was about 11% when it finally peaked out, a little over 11.
You guys talked about sticker shock. These moves, the sheer number of dollars, gold moving $260 in hours, silver moving $7 in hours. Like, what a paradigm shift this is, right. Especially for Rob. I mean, $7, you were hoping someday you would see $7 silver.
I was hoping someday we'd get back to 50. I remember people would say silver was at 14 or like, it's going to go to 100. I'm like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just break 20.
Yeah, you got to
start
somewhere.
And here we are. Yeah, here we are in the mid-70s, and yeah, it's not where it was a few months ago, but let's think about that. If we get back to silver at 50 or in the low to mid-50s, that actually could happen, okay? I mean, we're looking at a really very broad trading range for silver, but I'll tell you, Michael Oliver is thinking that the momentum, that's our new favorite word around here for both silver and gold, has just barely turned back to positive. So he's actually looking for the market to rally. Now, that could be a rally in a declining trend, or it could be the real thing. But he's become very optimistic.
What do you think about that, Miles? I mean, a rally in a declining trend. At what point does it become a new breakout?
Well, if we go back to Monday, March 23rd, we had a pretty significant spike down and turnaround right there. That was 58 and change, silver dropping below $60. And now we're back up at 75. So that's a pretty significant turnaround in a week and a half. So if we kind of look at silver since 2026, you take the initial decline that happened back in February, which took us down to 64, and a pretty sharp turnaround taking us all the way back up to the mid 90s. Significant trading range there. Then we've come back down to around 60, so we put in a lower low. Now there's a fair assumption we're going to say, okay, what kind of geometry is the silver chart going to give us here going forward? So I think to say that with a consecutive lower low, we would now be looking at a lower high if we're going to argue for a declining trend in silver, which is arguably not very steep either. You know, it is kind of trailing down relatively gradually, but we could see a short-term push up as high as 90. If we're going to see a parallel top and bottom to the trading channel here, but we just don't know yet. You know, we could build into a pennant pattern, which is going to argue for a quicker breakout from the trading range one direction or the other, or we could look for some channel sideways trading. There's a lot in here when you get this type of aggressive correction down off of the, let's be honest, even more aggressive rise that we had the previous year. So we're in the no man's land that I don't tend to get too excited about. I like to pick my levels, pick my limits where I'm looking for gold and silver, or really any market to kind of bounce in between. So arguably short term, if you're looking at the whole rise since October, November of last year, the real breakout move, which took us from just under 50 up to 120, we've come down a pretty deep correction. We've hit and slightly broken through the last Fibonacci level I really care about, which is the 786. And right now we're currently sitting at the 618 Fib or just slightly below it. So silver needs to decide what direction it's going to go. It takes us back a couple weeks ago when I said the big word here is momentum. Where is silver going to build momentum at this point to the upside or the downside? And what are some of the other factors coming in that can add some weight to that? What's the futures and options market going to do? What are the international banks going to do? And what pricing are they looking at to start buying back into things like gold and silver? So for the time being, I'm very happy with the way the market is moving. I like when markets move healthy. I like when markets have periods of expansion and contraction. Markets have to go both directions. You have to let them take their stair steps towards your ultimate goal. I know everybody out there has a price they'd love to see silver hit. Market doesn't care what you want. The market's going to do what the market's going to do. And this is where your best option is to learn how momentum builds in markets and then pick positions from time to time to add to your current existing portfolio.
Yeah, well said. And for those of you who are listening and want to see the visuals, you can go to our website, McIlvaney.com/radio. And I strongly recommend you do, because the charts that Miles puts up will really help the points kind of sink in. That's McIlvaney.com/radio. And you can see this on YouTube as well. You'll have some visuals. And then you also mentioned those Fibonacci retracements. So that 786, what that means is from where you start a rally to what you end up seeing on a correction, 786 means you've given up, what, 78.6% of that gain.
Correct.
The 618, you've given away 61.8% of that gain. And that does not mean that the bull market is interrupted. It just means in that short-term cycle of a rally, you could even come all the way back down, which is what you alluded to, Rob, earlier, coming down in the low 50s.
Yeah.
Or hitting the reset and on that entire rally. And again, it's not an interruption in the bull market, in a sense, of that intermediate and long term. We could go and start a whole new rise.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that silver could back up to the intersection of the declining trend line and the 200-day moving average, which would be, you know, low 60s, high 50s. That could definitely take place, but it doesn't mean the market is over. It just means that's a great opportunity. But 2 years ago, or even a year ago, Tori, if you'd have said, Rob, $50 is going to be a great opportunity to buy silver. I would have said,
I know.
What are you talking about?
That's my exit point. <That's>,
But, you know, now we're all hoping that we can see that again. But who knows? Because, listen, Michael Oliver is good. And if he's saying the momentum, the big mo, has shifted ever so slightly to the positive for both gold and silver, we could be at a time right now where people could step in a little bit. But, you know, I would definitely do it in a dollar cost averaging fashion.
So, Rob, you're talking about a year ago telling you that $50 was going to be a good entry point. Remember how hard it was to tell people to buy silver a year ago. All they wanted was gold, and yeah. Silver was $30 an ounce.
Yeah.
And now it's hard to tell people that gold is a good buy right now at $4,700 an ounce. They don't want to get rid of their silver. I know we focused a lot on silver, but you talk about a pennant formation forming.
Let's take a look at the ratios. Let's take a look at the wedge formation that's occurring in the ratios right now.
And that's what informs us as to what we're recommending, right? The reason
exactly.
A year ago exactly right now We were saying buy silver is because that ratio had gone north of 95 all the way to like 104, it topped out. And People didn't want to emotionally detach from their gold. Now they don't want to emotionally detach from the silver. Just follow the process, but yes, explain this.
Yeah, Miles, put up your charts on both the ratios and the wedge patterns, because it's so enlightening.
Yeah, it's fun to watch these bounce back and forth because, you know, a lot of people forget that the U.S. dollar is an asset. It's more of an asset than a currency. It's the worst appreciating asset on earth, you know, guaranteed loss over time in U.S. dollars. But the reason I mention that is a lot of people think in terms of like, how many U.S. dollars do I have?
It gives them a certain level of comfort.
Yeah. Well, and it's a use thing, right? I mean, we use it every day and I don't want to shoot it down. I have a lot of U.S. dollars too. Not a lot, not as many as I want, but that's what I use to buy and sell stuff too. I got to put gas in the car. But it is just an asset. So when we're looking at the price of gold, we're looking at the gold to dollar ratio, the iPads to dollar ratio, the apples to dollar ratio. And when you start realizing that the dollar's an asset, you can start looking at other assets divided by other assets. So that's why we like the gold to silver ratio, because there's a pretty consistent track record over the last 50, 60 years of the highs and lows and the trend and the direction and how momentum works between gold and silver. And momentum does shift between the metals. And a lot of people spend a lot of time looking backwards at what, say, silver had just done or gold had just done without thinking to themselves, okay, that seesaw switches sides from time to time. You only get to go up and then you go down. You know, the seesaw goes back and forth, and sometimes you just want to climb onto the other side. So I'm looking at the rebound that we had in the gold-silver ratio back in February, which did get down into the mid-40s, and we did have a lot of clients that got to take advantage of it, hoping it would go lower. And hey, I admit it still could. But if it doesn't, the bounce that we've just seen is probably going to start trending back up to where you really want to be looking at a heavier gold position than silver right now. Not because you're wrong about where you think silver is ultimately going, but because you're asking it to do it within a time frame you created in your own head. And it's very important to get out of that mindset and just accept the market for what it is, instead of trying to cram it into what you want it to be. So I'm seeing the growth that we've got in the ratio with gold starting to outperform silver again. I'm also looking at short term, Rob, as you mentioned, a very compressing ceiling coming off of the big aggressive rebound we had in February, where it went from 45 to 1 up to 75 to 1. In just a couple of days, 73 to 1, I think it was. So now we've had a correction back the other direction. It oversteered, and now we're starting to climb back up. So there's really a couple of things we could end up seeing here. We could extend this wedge out where we start getting some lower highs, but we're also getting higher lows, meaning the bottom is increasing. And we extend this wedge out further between ultimately your breakout high level, which would be about 75 to 1, and then your breakout to the downside level, which would be like 55, 56 to 1. So really anything between those two numbers, 55 and 75, let's say, you're treading water and it's offering you an opportunity very likely to add to your gold ounces against your silver ounces for the time being. So we start to see some movement upwards to where the gold starts to outperform silver again, whether they're both going up or they're both going down. It's about the relative price, forgetting the relationship back to the US dollar, but just the relative price between the two. Now we start looking at some breakout levels either to the top side or the bottom side. You look at the 50-year chart, and there's a much heavier argument that we're going to move upwards, meaning gold will now start outperforming silver for the next number of years, than the other direction. So I think the odds are in the favor of the guy who's willing to diminish their silver position, moving some, not all, but some of your silver into gold. If you miss the opportunity to do it at 45 to 1, 55 or 60 to 1 is still going to look darn good when the ratio is 100 to 1 or 110 to 1. And you've doubled the amount of ounces of silver you go back into at that point. Let the market tell you what to do. Stop trying to put it in your predetermined bucket. And I think we're starting to see that happen with the gold-silver ratio.
Yeah, and I think there's optimism for gold, not just technically, but also fundamentally. I mean, during the month of March, the Central Bank of Turkey sold or swapped between 58 to 60 tons of gold. Now, that's a lot of gold to hit in a very short time frame. Maybe the bigger question is who bought it, but that put a lot of pressure on the gold price. Of course, the rising dollar and the interest increase on the 10-year treasury versus gold, there was an opportunity loss if you were in gold versus in an interest-bearing 10-year T-bill. But regardless of that, I think that if the Strait of Hormuz opens, Tori, what was your oil guy saying about that?
Well, whether the strait opens or not, I mean, first of all, we've got to absorb the market freeze in regards to the transport. That's going to take a month just to settle. Even if the strait opens fully right now and ships start moving, it's going to take a while to see prices come all the way down. As long as the ceasefire holds, this is Troy Eckert of Eckert Enterprises, sent out a great summary on oil. And like I said last week, I was telling people, look, it's really indicated based on ratios, the gold to oil ratio. Oil was the most undervalued hard asset in the world. Now, we didn't know that it was going to be the Iranian conflict that caused it to reverse, but as far as its devaluation compared to other commodities, namely gold, it was the most undervalued it had ever been.
Yeah, it only took an ounce of silver to buy a barrel of oil at one point, and it stayed like that for a while.
And if typically you're around 16 barrels of oil for 1 ounce of gold, it got to be about 50 barrels of oil for an ounce of gold.
Yeah.
And so you could sell that and do that. Well, now you're starting to see this reversal on this ceasefire, and you see this dollar decline, and you know he's saying, look, they're going to go hand in hand, and the oil prices could come down sharply further. There's going to be a lot of supply and demand dynamics that have to work out. But a dramatic fall in the U.S. dollar is often triggered by high inflation, which is the impact from the oil, but also the rising debt and loss of investor confidence. So we've covered all those in the show. But those factors alone, the high inflation, we'll get CPI on Friday, and it's going to be higher. So everybody's going to be talking about the consumer price index inflation rate on Friday. And by the time somebody's listening to the show, that may have been the case already. But it hurts American purchasing power when the dollar declines. But those factors can cause a lower value for the U.S. dollar. And that significantly increases the cost of imported goods. So we as importers import inflation at that point. But as far as some consequences, other consequences of a sharp dollar devaluation, which we know now this administration wants. Trump has been calling for a weaker dollar. Why? Well, it's a boost for exporters. So U.S.-made products become cheaper for the foreign buyers. And so they buy our stuff, and that boosts our sales and manufacturing and obviously our agricultural sectors. And then you have reduced purchasing power and travel, unfortunately. International travel becomes more expensive for Americans. Okay, so what? I mean, we're seeing that with jet fuel. You can't go anywhere without it being more expensive, no matter where you are in the world. But also increased interest rates, that's part of this decline as well, is what's going to happen with the interest rates. Well, to prevent a rapid currency collapse and combat inflation, the Federal Reserve oftentimes is forced to raise interest rates.
Yeah, which means their debt service increases, though. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Unbelievable tightrope that they're having to walk. Just not willing to do the hard stuff because it'd be too economically painful in the short term, which means it's too politically painful. So they're not willing to risk their jobs to do the right thing.
Well, and they've got too many dependents who need the fraud that they've been living on to go away. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't go there.
Well, the dollar devaluation, that's part of it too, because that creates such a demand for dollar printing. So the more obligations that you have, the more dollars that you need. And so all of it ties hand in hand, but eyes on the U.S. dollar here, because today's price for crude oil and recoiling from those highs is really based on the market's perception, according to Troy, of the forward view of forthcoming supplies or even current supplies versus the demand. Going forward, if the oil supplies increase and lessen the gap between the supply and demand, the dollar should drop much further. And he's saying this could be a very precipitous drop, quite a sharp decline, quote. And if that happens, that's good for gold, because we've gone through this dollar rally here in the last month.
A dollar rally with a bunch of gold being sold into the market in just a matter of a few short weeks. I think things could very rapidly change for gold, and we'll see what happens with silver.
Gold is the money metal. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Silver is a commodity. I'm not as convinced that silver would chase and follow and that the ratio would stay the same. And I think, Miles, that's where you end up seeing that move upward in the ratio of testing that channel, that trend line that you show.
Well, Tori, I tell you what makes me nervous about that is if the trend for the U.S. dollar is very likely going to continue down, both from a charting and technical standpoint, as well as global economic, inflationary, military spending, ETC, causing a decline on that end as well. Now we start looking at some of the dollar alternatives. Okay, what are traditional dollar alternatives? Other foreign currencies like the euro, equities markets, precious metals, real estate, so on and so forth. But there are some other alternatives, especially if we start seeing interest rates go down, where you're just never going to see a move into things like the bond market or treasury bills. So now all of a sudden people are chasing more dangerous assets just to flee a decreasing dollar. And one of the biggest things we're going to do domestically is equity investing. That's pretty traditional here in the U.S. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at the S&P, even though we had a nice bounce here this week, a very, very strong bounce up. But it was an overnight bounce between Tuesday and Wednesday. and gaps tend to close themselves. So if we don't start seeing some momentum to the upside on the equities market, we're going to have a declining dollar and a rapidly declining equities market simultaneously. Now, we get a big enough fall in the equities market, that's going to trigger some panic selling, which will bump the dollar back up. But I'm not a big fan of throwing a brick through a window in order to pay the window makers, you know, and that's effectively what's happening here if we start relying on panic selling out of the equities market to help short-term prop the dollar up. So we've got some domestic issues here as well. And we start losing the equities market and the dollar market, foreign investing goes back to Europe or Asia. So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website to catch the charts each week. You can find us at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.